Hello and welcome. You're listening to a special podcast on CNBCTV18.com. I'm your host, Jerome Anthony. As promised, I'm back on a podcast. I'm excited to be here, but not quite excited because we'll be talking about something really serious, something that has been spreading across the world and taking a toll on the global economy and a lot many more things apart from the innocent lives that are being lost. We're going to be talking about the coronavirus. We'll be giving you all the updates, everything you need to know and everything you need to keep yourself safe from this deadly virus. To do so, I have CNBC TV 18 associate editor Archana Shukla, who will be helping you understand what you need to do. Archana, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerome.
Archana, first up, parents are really worried. Should they even be sending their children to school?
Jerome, you know, it's a very logical worry for parents, considering kids are very susceptible to infections. They don't wash their hands and follow hygiene. But as this point in time, there is no need to panic. In India, we have had only few positive cases. Caution is advised. If you are, not in a very heavily affected region, a region which has not been heavily affected by the coronavirus, where cases have not been found, like places in Noida, Delhi, the entire NCR region, Jaipur, Hyderabad. If you're not in one of these places, you should not panic, one. Two, as part of, caution, a few schools themselves have shut down or have closed intermittently for a few days. They are sanitizing. So some of the schools in the Delhi NCR region have closed down right now for a week or so. Some schools where CBSE exams are going on, they have voluntarily advised their students, in case they want to carry face masks and hand sanitizers, they can do. But for all the other parents, first up, do not panic. Because the studies have shown that children actually are less susceptible to the SARS coronavirus, the one that has been spreading right now. We had Dr. Gagandeep Kang of Translational Health Science Technical Institute a few days ago on our channel, and she was saying that the data that has come out from China shows that older people get more severe form of this disease from COVID-19. Most of the children, even if they've been tested positive, they've shown very milder symptoms of the infection. So from that side, we should not panic too much. But again, this is a new virus. We do not know much about it as yet. So as more data emerges, we'll get more idea. But at this point in time, what becomes important is training and teaching our children basic hygiene and basic precautions. So, telling them to wash their hands properly with soap when they come back from playing, not to touch their faces and mouth with dirty hands or before eating anything. If your child is not feeling too well, do not send them to school, even if he or she has the exams. Exams can come back tomorrow. Okay. But if a sick child goes to school, he can be a potential carrier of flu symptoms and the disease to other children as well. So teachers and the school authorities also need to be very vigilant and careful that this hygiene is maintained. And they are very vigilant about children who are, who look a little sick. They should send them back home and, advise, give them holiday, tell them to stay home. One thing we need to understand is if we create panic, children are going to get scared and they may not follow what we want them to in terms of the hygiene practices. So helping them understand and then going about this would be, I think, a better idea.
Right. That's quite interesting there, Archana. Now, when the swine flu, outbreak had happened in India, I did take public transport. In fact, I traveled in a train from Mumbai to Goa. That was, in fact, to get away from, the sort of panic situation here. What do you suggest? Should people be taking public transports? Because considering in a city like Mumbai or Delhi, where you have a metro or, your locals here, should we be taking public transports?
If everyone stops taking public transport, I think the entire city would stop, the economy would stop, and the lives would stop. So, cities like Bombay, Delhi, the metros, you cannot avoid public transport. Even if you have to go in and get your basic services, you have to use public transport. And on the other side, when we look at this virus and the way it spreads, it actually spreads with close contact. It spreads in a large groups where a lot of people are there because it spreads through saliva droplets. So if someone's coughing around you and it's a closed place, you are susceptible to getting that. So keeping that in mind, again, I would say following basic hygiene, if you have to travel by public transport, do follow those basic hygiene. See, not everyone can take a taxi. Not everyone can travel in their personal cars. But what you can do is keep your hands clean. Do not touch public utilities. Do not touch the railings. And, you know, if you're getting onto a train or a taxi, if you're opening the door of the taxi, sanitize your hand. Carry a hand sanitizer with you. So you're sanitizing yourself. Do not touch your mouth, eyes and nose with dirty hands. Avoid, if you can, avoid trains, metro trains, which are very crowded. Maybe change the timing of your travel based on, you know, when the peak traffic is, so that you avoid large and close contact with a lot of people at the same time. Sanitizing yourself, and if you can, if you're carrying a sanitizer, sanitize the hand railings that you're, you know, you're. It might sound as if, you know, you are taking extra care, but I think at this point in time, when we do not understand from where the virus can come, little bit of precaution can help.
Right.
We can't stop traveling, we can't stop living our lives, but we can take care and on how we are doing it.
Right. And what would you suggest for those who have work from home option, or should people opt to work from home?
So, you know, certain companies have actually been advising their employees to work from home. Companies like Wipro, TCS, some companies from the financial space like Goldman Sachs, and some others have also advised their employees that if there is an option of work from home, do work from home. A day ago, I think Paytm asked its employees to work from home. They've closed their office and they're sanitizing because one of their employees was tested positive. He had a travel history to Italy and he was tested positive. So his entire team has been asked to get themselves tested. And the entire office has been closed down and people have been asked to work from home. So that can be a feasible option. But it may not be the option for multiple other sectors where you need to be in your office. So if that is the case, then you have to go again. Like I pointed out, follow your basic hygiene. But most important is sometimes we take our jobs too seriously, more than our health. So even if you're feeling sick, we travel to work, we sit there. At this point in time, I think we need to take our health more seriously. So if you're feeling sick, if you're feeling not feeling too well, you have fever or you're coughing, stay home. You would be saving yourself and many others, you know, from not spreading the disease to them. So staying home, many companies are now giving their employees this the sick leave, so to say, which is for coronavirus. So they are themselves advising that if you're feeling sick, don't come to work.
Okay.
We'll manage otherwise. I think companies themselves are becoming more open to this. So we must do that. Home quarantining also helps. So in case you are feeling unwell, you have fever, flu, you're coughing, sneezing, quarantine yourself in your home also. That'll also help your family members to be away from the virus as well. So for those who can work from home, I think it's a great idea. We can use technology. You can do video conferencing and, you know, telephonic interviews, etc. if you have to coordinate with people.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, just follow the basic hygiene.
Right. Quite interesting. Again, Archana, what about gatherings? Now, gatherings such as Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Union Home Minister Amit Shah recently said that they would not be attending Holi Milan festivals. So, should others not attend too?
You know, Holi is a public festival. It's a cultural festival for India and a big one. And, you know, generally meeting family and friends is great at this festival. But I think at this point in time, it will be more feasible if we celebrate in smaller groups and we avoid large gatherings. Multiple of these Holi festivals have actually been scaled down in multiple places across the country.
Okay.
Many societies who have, you know, those large scale functions have scaled it down or have said we'll celebrate it at home. So I think that will be a more feasible option, especially in cities where coronavirus cases have been found, you know, like the Delhi NCR, Jaipur, Hyderabad sort of places, because we do not know who would have come in contact with the infected person,
right?
We do not that this virus spreads very fast. And it's a respiratory, so you can't stop breathing, right?
Right.
So you don't know how you will, how you may get infected with this virus. So the best is to avoid these parties or scale it down to celebrating it in small groups. But in case you must visit a party, you know, you have a social commitment that you have, again, follow your basic hygiene, and also exercise mild social distancing. So like saying namaste in a party would be better than hugging someone or, you know, shaking hands with them, because, you know, the hands may be dirty. So avoiding contact with large people, mm-hmm. feasible at this point in time. Festivals will come, and I think celebrating it with family will be even more better than celebrating with random people around.
Absolutely. What about international travel? Should people just shelve international travels, avoid flights, and postpone their travels till at least this whole situation is under control?
If it's not essential, advisable to shelve that plan for now.
Okay.
Again, because the world is so connected these days with flights and, people traveling across continents, the spread of the virus has been that fast. You know, I think 40, 50, 60 years ago, the viruses would not be spreading this fast because the travel was not this extensive. Now people travel, flights travel from one A place to B. The same crew is traveling from B to C to D. So it spreads much faster. One way to avoid it is, obviously, if it's non-essential, avoid. Indian government, in fact, has also advised people to avoid non-essential travel to particular countries where this virus has, or large number of cases have been found, like Iran, Italy, South Korea, Singapore. And in fact, the Indian government is in talks with the Iran and Italy governments to evacuate the Indians who are in that country. So non-essential travel, avoid. Most airlines are also cancelling their flights to these coronavirus largely affected regions like China or in the Southeast Asian countries, to some of the European countries, Iran. So check with your airline if you have a flight, upcoming flight, check with your airline. Some airlines are also giving you refunds back for cancellation on coronavirus for these routes. Particularly Lufthansa is one airline which has cancelled almost 1/5 of their flights globally. So they have about 750. They've cut down 150 flights out of that. So checking on with your airline on if you know, I'm sure you would get your refunds, because this is a time when every single sector and company is open and sensitive to this issue. No one wants to fall sick, and no one wants to be the reason to spread the virus. So non-essential travel, restrict it. Even within India, for that matter, if you're traveling. International, obviously, non-essential, do not. Especially to coronavirus-affected regions, don't.
Okay.
You can always shelve it. Even if you're traveling within India, following basic hygiene and being very aware of where you're going, how you are put up, which is the area, what you're eating if you're eating outside, uncooked meat. Sometimes in hotels, you don't get good meat and stuff. That should also be kept in mind while you're traveling.
Right, Archana. So in case you're traveling and you're in an aircraft, you're in a confined space, you have people around, you can't jump off the aircraft, you can't avoid them. Does wearing a face mask help in such a situation?
Okay. So the World Health Organization, I think, is going hoarse trying to say this, that face masks on healthy people does not help.
Okay.
Healthy people do not need to wear face masks.
Okay.
Face masks, and that too, the N95 masks, are for people who are infected, who are showing signs of and symptoms of flu or are suspected coronavirus or have been confirmed to be coronavirus. Masks are needed for healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, staff in a hospital, who are dealing with people and patients affected by infectious diseases, even apart from coronavirus. It's needed for them to avoid them because they are in direct touch, right? Healthy people do not need face masks. It does not help you. There are 2-3 reasons why. And, you know, the World Health Organization has been trying to spread this message, because globally there has been a shortage of face masks, the surgical masks, the N95 masks, even in India. And people who actually need it, which is the doctors and the patients, they are not getting it. Now, we are exposing ourselves to even more trouble and problems by creating mask shortages. Why healthy people should not be wearing masks also, there are two reasons. One, we do not know how to wear masks. We are not trained. Okay. There is no general awareness on mask etiquette, right? There is a particular way to wear it. You're not supposed to touch the outside of the mask, which people do, right? Secondly, the mask, there is slight bit of a problem in breathing because you're not used to breathing with something in front of your nose. You find it problematic and people keep removing that mask intermittently to get fresh air. Now, that may become a bigger cause of problem. Because then, you know, you are breathing in fresh air and covering yourself. So that air remains near your nose. You're not even freely allowing it to move around. And then we keep touching our masks. We keep fidgeting with it. So healthy people, stay away from masks. You don't need them. I just want to point out one thing. Yesterday, my sister was telling me, she is a teacher in a Gurgaon school and her children go to another school in Gurgaon. Their children's school had asked all students, staff, teachers and parents to wear masks when they come to school. Now, that is something that is unnecessarily creating panic and creating a cause of trouble and in fact causing more damage than trying to solve the problem. Children, when adults don't know how to use masks, imagine how children's would. Children don't know, right? They keep playing with it. It's for them, it'll be a toy, especially the 4 to 6, 7 year old kids. They might, you know, want to share their masks. You wear mine, I'll wear yours. And, you know, you're just adding to more trouble. And again, healthy people do not need masks. You're creating shortage of masks in your market.
Okay, so now we know that it can be fatal. Can you just elaborate and tell us what somebody should do, A, if they feel that they have symptoms or whatever, like, you know, they're feeling unwell. And can you tell us the fatality rate and how can they stop the spread of the disease?
If you are feeling sick and you think the signs and symptoms are of flu, which is fever, cough, cold, dizziness, body ache or diarrhea, approach your doctor. The doctor would be the best person to diagnose. Do not take self-medication at this point in time, right? And stay at home. Do not travel too much. One, it'll give your body also the rest that it requires to recover from the illness. It might be just a flu. And two, you would also stop the spread to other people. The symptoms, the signs and symptoms of coronavirus are very similar to a normal flu, which is what I told you, like the cough, fever, cold, body ache, etc. So initially, you may not be able to kind of distinguish whether it's coronavirus or it's flu. So visit a doctor. If the doctor feels the need, he will put you to the coronavirus test. Now we have about 31 laboratories across the country who have the test kits to do to test on coronavirus. So if your doctor feels the need, and I think most healthcare professionals are now aware and they've been told to be very vigilant of patients who are showing these type of signs, so they will put you to that test. As far as fatality is concerned, as of now, about 80% of people who get coronavirus or COVID-19 show milder signs and symptoms. So in 80% of the people, it'll be milder flu-like symptoms and they will recover faster. But in about 20% of them, it may develop into serious, severe condition, which might require ventilatory support. 2% of people, so the fatality rate is 2% with COVID-19. In China, in fact, the fatality rate is much lesser. Outside China, it's about 2%. In China, it's less than 0.5% fatality rate. But outside China, in places like Iran, Italy, Japan, and the other Southeast Asian countries, it is about 2%. Again, no need to panic on that. The treatment and therapy that you will get will be very similar to what you get for flu. So it will just be supportive therapy. At this point in time, we do not have a specific cure for COVID-19. We do not have a vaccine. It's a new virus, right? So the WHO has been saying that we are still studying the data, the genetic mapping of that virus. And there are multiple clinical trials that are ongoing across the world, more so in China, but in also some other countries like US and Europe, to find a cure for that. Right now, we do not have a cure. But I think following basic hygiene, quarantining patients would stop the spread of the virus and might even reduce the fatality rate from this point on. Remember, this is a upper respiratory tract disease, right? It spreads through droplets, saliva droplets. It spreads through close contact. Avoiding that will contain the outbreak of this disease to a large extent. What is important right now is to understand and create awareness around that.
Right, Archana. So as far as, you've told us how you should use a mask and, entire fatality percentage. Now, using a hand wash or a hand sanitizer, how helpful is it?
It's a new virus. But from whatever we know about this till now, from the data that we've received and the genetic mapping that has been done, it's very similar to the SARS or the MERS virus that the disease outbreak that we've seen in the last decade or so. And from that, we understand that soap and water and alcohol-based hand sanitizers can kill the germ. And, experts from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which are the agencies that deal with large disease outbreaks and creating awareness around diseases, they've been pointing out that washing your hand with soap will generally be more effective, especially because, you have a lot of grime in your hand sometimes that kind of attracts the germs. And soap and water helps to remove that grime. So it helps to control the infection, in infection control that way. So washing your hands with soap and water would be much better to avoid other infectious diseases also, like flu or diarrheal diseases as well. But if you're traveling, obviously you will not have access to soap or to a sink to wash your hands with. At that point in time, hand sanitizers and wipes can be very effective. The CDC has been highlighting that hand sanitizers that have at least 60% alcohol tend to be more effective. So if you're buying hand sanitizers, just check that. We've in fact have had shortages of hand sanitizers in the last 1 week or because most people have bought it and stocked it up for themselves. Again, I urge people, do not hoard these important and essential commodities, because people who might really require it may not have access to it because you are holding up to it. So buy as much as you would need it at this point in time. But yes, washing hands with soap and water is the best as of now from whatever data we've received. And if you're traveling, hand sanitizers.
So Archana, lastly, we've spoken about children, we've spoken about the elderly, but is there a set of people who should take extra precaution or, who should be more vigilant as far as the coronavirus spread is concerned?
Considering it's an infectious disease and considering it spreads, it's an upper respiratory tract disease, it spreads through contact and saliva, and it can be very fast in spreading. People with lower immunity should be vigilant of their, how clean their surroundings, the kind of people they're coming in contact with. They should be vigilant. People with diabetes, people with cardiovascular disease, and people who have had a history of heart attacks, etc. Pregnant women should be particularly careful because it's an infection. And because when you are in these conditions, your immunity may be at a little lower level and you may be more susceptible to getting this infection. And it may be difficult for you to recover from this illness faster. So these should be the people who should be a little more vigilant. Also, people who smoke, your lung capacity is shorter than the other people. So might be a good idea to kind of skip, smoking. Also a healthy option for life otherwise also, but it also helps to improve your lung function. Also do exercises and stuff that help you improve your immunity. Eat good food, eat fresh food, eat fruits, but no uncooked meat, etc. That might lead to some infections later on. So these are just basic, precautions. Like I've been saying, it's a new virus. We have less data as of now, but these are things that will help us improve our immunity and may help us avoid getting that virus.
Right, Archana, thank you so much for all these updates.
Thank you so much, Jerome. The point is we need to not panic at this point in time, but spread awareness so that everyone is on the same page and we know what we need to do.
Right. So that was Archana Shukla, Associate Editor at CNBC TV 18, giving you all you need to know, all you need to do to battle the coronavirus outbreak in India. This is me, Jerome Anthony, signing out from the special CNBC TV 18.com podcast. I will see you again soon.